And my new guest.
How you doing?
Jason, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
So for people that don't know you, the 10 people watching that don't actually know who you are, give us the quick introduction.
I'm the Corporate Vice President for the Visual Studio product line. I've been at Microsoft for about 19 years. So I've actually worked on the original version of CLR all the way up and work on the Visual Studio tools now. So.
All right, so we saw some of the stuff that you were showing off in the keynote. You want to give kind of, and really this is your chance to ask questions, everything related Visual Studio 11, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Give us kind of like the 20,000 foot view. What is the big thing that developers are going to care about for VS 11?
Oh man, that's like asking me to pick my favorite child. So there's a bunch of really cool functionality. What I would say is we've added some support in for Azure services, the stuff that Satya talked about this morning.
Sure.
We did the keynote demo. We also showed how to connect that back up into the devices. And so clearly a couple of big areas we've concentrated on is on Azure, on ASP.NET and those sort of functionalities. So I saw Scott Guthrie do a great demo of that, but also the Windows Metro style designers and tooling support. So, you know, these nice new devices that we have, you know, the developer preview devices, that kind of stuff. Lots of cool stuff. Great innovation down at the framework levels with .NET in HTML and JavaScript, all the languages. It's a really large release. There's a whole bunch of great new stuff.
Yeah, so in terms of, you know, the bread and butter developer in an IDE, just talk about some of the niceties that they're going to discover. So,
sure.
You know, whether it's a debugging or some of the code analysis features that you guys
yep.
have added.
Well, I mean, every time we do a release, we look at both, you know, platform support. We also look at developer productivity. One of the things that we did, and I mentioned this morning, we've had over 1 million downloads of the productivity power tools. And these are, you know,
yeah.
these are really cool. I don't write code in 2010 anymore without them. But it's interesting in that it's about developer productivity. So it's things like being able to do a search across my entire project, find everything, methods, you know, fields, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
Quick info, we've got 4,000 different commands or, you know, dialogues, designers, et cetera. You can go in and go find, you know, those right with one little search right up on the top. We also tried to simplify the user interface as well. So you'll find that there's fewer toolbar layers that are in there. Like you hit F5 and debug, we don't give you two or three lines of toolbars anymore. So there's a whole bunch of productivity sort of stuff. You asked about the tooling side. There we've done a lot of work on things like unit testing. So we can, you know, bring your own unit test framework in there and go run what you want. We've made sure it scales like 100,000 tests in one project. You can go do that. So you can,
oh, nice.
If you're doing TDD or something like that, man, we got you covered. But you also mentioned static analysis, another good example of that. We've also pulled in, and even cool things like the Windows team has done for the device driver SDK work, the ability to actually write device drivers, and for the first time, we've actually got the kernel debugger hooked up inside of Visual Studio. So,
ooh.
I guess something, you know, there's WinHack folks here. When I ran the developer team, I was a development manager for the CLR,
yeah.
you know, for like version 1.1 and 2 and that kind of time frame. And, you know, because of where we were at in the stack, we did a bunch of kernel mode debugging and trying to figure out, I mean, I would have killed to have had KD inside of Visual Studio. So for all the WinHack folks that are here, you know, so my only point is a lot of really great stuff, no matter what level of the stack and what type of application you're writing. And there's, you know, one shell and one set of support for all of it.
Yeah, so we talked about, you know, some of the low-level stuff for certainly, I'd say VB, C# developers have been almost spoiled by having really rich debuggers. But I think some of the cool stuff that Scott showed is JavaScript features
yep.
and HTML inspection features. Do you want to talk about that for people that maybe didn't see all the features that are there?
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting things there. One, we've taken the F12 tools in the core base that we've done. We've made those available to use inside of Visual Studio. So if you're writing a Metro-style application, the DOM Explorer, JavaScript REPL, I can go and manipulate the whole thing. We've showed off a few examples of that yesterday. Scott also showed off a really cool feature that uses some similar technology, which allows me to go up and live run my website and be able to inspect and find individual components and be able to figure out where did that come from? Where did the styling is it? Where does it
right.
live in the DOM tree? This to me is a good example of kind of being able to free you up from the type in some text, hit F5, try a whole bunch of stuff. There's one more in this aspect that's also interesting, and that's the new expression blend tools that we showed off. And in that case, I have the ability to use the expression blend designer for HTML, and I can actually run it in interactive mode. Now that literally means you're running the application, but in the designer. That's important because so much of, you know, websites and HTML applications these days are composed of dynamic components, right? I'm running
right.
JavaScript, I'm injecting stuff. So I can actually do styling on something that doesn't exist yet because the code hasn't run. So we made it possible to go through and run that and then go back and do the styling.
And, you know, it's a pretty significant thing that actually has to happen, because you have to have a real-time emulator, like the page is showing what's actually executing,
yep.
Right?
And it's not actually an emulator, we're actually running the app.
Okay, so it's full execution.
It's
so
the application.
Classic example, could we put breakpoints and step into all the process as it's going?
So the process model that's set up, we're actually running the app because we actually want it to be, you know, real and high fidelity. With the blend product, the metaphor is not quite right for breakpoints and things like that. So mm-hmm. we won't turn Expression Blend into a more developer-oriented tool. It really is still for designers. My point is more that you get the high fidelity because you're actually running the application itself.
Got it.
And that kind of makes sense for it. So it's the right process model. Your code's going to work the same. And we had to work really hard with the platform teams in order to go enable that. But.
Okay, so you know, this is all about you all asking your questions. So remember, hashtag CH9Live. And I do want to take a question from Plepilov. What is the future of F-sharp language in Visual Studio? Will it be integrated more with other Visual Studio tools?
So we've got it shipping with Visual Studio 2010, and again in Visual Studio 2011. So we've made some new improvements and stuff like that. There's some work we've been doing around reasoning over data and what that kind of looks like. So we'll continue to evolve and make that stuff go. I think the question is really like, will we turn around and try and do Metro style applications for F Sharp? Right now, that's not something we're concentrating on. We're really trying to get the core HTML, JavaScript, the XAML stack with C++, C Sharp and Visual Basic. You know, that's really where we're trying to concentrate in that space. F Sharp is still a fantastic language, especially for those domains where you're doing, you know, the kind of more mathematics, the scientifics, you know, and anything like that. And we'll continue to have that support. We will evolve that.
Okay. You know, some of the stuff that we also saw was using different parts. So like an HTML JavaScript application that actually had calls into C++. Do you want to talk about how the things work and what's the developer experience? So somebody has a great image processing library that's in C++.
Yep.
I can use it in my Metro style application.
It's actually really slick. The team has done a really fantastic job on this. I can go off and create my HTML, you know, application, get that up and running. I can actually go back and then add the reference back into the C++ version, and now I can start using the interfaces directly through the projection mechanism and just start consuming it. So the APIs are really simple. Otherwise, I mean, there is some work to stitch these things together, but the tool is kind of making that easier for you. The other component of this, of course, it's the authoring experience. After that is the packaging experience, and we've integrated that piece too. So when you go off and create your application package, you know, we'll get everything in there and bundle it up in the right kind of way so you can kind of, you know, push it through the system. So it's actually quite nice. So using you know, C++, and you did mention a canonical fantastic example, which is I've got some kind of Chrome, you know, UI sort of interface, HTML, JavaScript, great for that. I want to do some really compute intensive stuff. C++ is awesome for that. So that kind of scenario works very well.
Cool, very cool. And you know, some of the other stuff, and I forget the exact name of the feature, it's something that finds duplicative code.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that? Because that one seemed like the it's too cool to be true.
Yeah. The code clones work.
Code clones, yes.
I love this feature. It's really it's freaking cool.
Is it make-believe? Is it magic and unicorns?
Nope, it's not unicorn tears and, you know, asteroid metals. No, it's actually a really cool piece of technology. It was a great collaboration that we did with Microsoft Research as well. They wrote an analysis engine we've incorporated into Visual Studio. If you haven't seen it, what we basically do is you can select blocks of code. Right, not even an entire method. You can, you know, subset blocks of code. We'll actually go through and do a semantic parse against that. So you go grab a parse tree, go figure out what it's doing. With that, you can now start to remove certain things that would otherwise, on a text, you know, kind of comparison, would cause problems. So names of variables, constant strings, you know, those sorts of things. So it's a semantic comparison.
It's much deeper than say grepping, like,
that's
hey,
correct.
It looks like you're calling this.
It's not a textual compare. It's literally looking at how the code is what the parse tree looks like, and then do you have equivalents like that elsewhere? And it's good at doing the matches. So it'll do a fuzzy match, like this is a weak match, this may or may not be something, all the way down to a strong match, which is, yeah, this is absolutely the same chunk of code. And so I really love this. I think because we've all run into code that we had to support. Not code that you've written, not code that I've written.
Not.
We would not do that. But we've all run into cases where someone else on our team has done that, right? So you can go off and detect it. Now I can go through and find that throughout my entire project. It's really slick.
Cool, very cool. And for people that are want to play with this stuff, so the I think we have the Windows 8 build available, and I believe that comes with Windows Developer Express.
Yep. Visual Studio Express. I know now I'm going to blunder it, but we have a new version of Visual Studio Express for Windows, and it's specifically designed for people to go write Metro style applications.
Right.
And so that is, you know, designed for that. So you can download, as Steven Sinofsky announced yesterday in his keynote, they have a version of Windows that's available. You can get a version that's just Windows. You can get a version that has the tools with it. The developer preview kits that we handed out had both of them in there. In addition, this morning, Satya Nadella, president of STB, he announced the general availability of Visual Studio 11 as well. That includes the ultimate version as well as a new version of Team Foundation Server.
And when can we download that?
If you're an MSDN subscriber, you can download it now. My blog actually has direct...
Okay,
yep.
Perfect.
My blog has a directory link to it. You can look up on MSDN. And we'll do what we typically do is in a couple of days, I think we've announced on Friday on a time slot, then everyone will be able to go ahead and download it. So MSDN subscribers right now, everyone else will be able to download it by the end of the week.
Awesome.
Party on.
I didn't know we were making it available to everyone.
It will be available to everyone, absolutely.
That's definitely exciting. Now, some of the other cool parts is we've seen a lot of innovation in the language side. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about some of the support, you know, obviously colorization and debugging support for things like async and some of the new language features that you see and how it all just comes together with the tools?
Yeah, async is a fantastic example of this. So, I mean, with the new Metro-style APIs as well as the work that we've been doing on the server side, you typically will have asynchronous APIs and you want to be able to call those. Clearly, we want to be able to write our code in a way that can handle those conditions. Now, you can always walk in, write event handlers, handleable, you can write all that code. I've written lots of that kind of code. It's kind of a pain in the butt, right? I mean, so and in some cases, you absolutely want to go do it. I'm writing a very performant application, but mostly, oftentimes, I just want user responsiveness, right? I don't want my app to just hang in the UI. And so having asynchronous in the API sets is great because it helps with that. Now, await, async, the keywords we've added to Visual Basic and C#, that has the compiler do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. Mm-hmm. And so I did a demo earlier today where we pulled up like a dialog in a Windows Metro, a WinRT API. It's async, but we just put the await keyword in front of it. Like in this case, I just wanted to pop a dialog up on the screen and get that response and then move on. I really don't need to do the extra complexity. So await makes that super simple. I can use it on the client. I can use it on the server. I think people have been waiting for this kind of API innovation for a while in this space, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, another thing that certainly we've seen requests for customers, it's more like the compiler as a service. So are there things that you can talk about in terms of exposure, maybe for third parties, doing some of the language analysis features that you mentioned before, like the semantic analysis versus just, you know, straight search, or features that are going to be in Visual Studio?
Well, what we typically do here is we have a great set of extensibility environment, and of course, Visual Studio is designed to run with multiple languages, multiple partners, and that kind of stuff. So we'll continue to work with partners to go do that. For the core pieces that we've done, we've added into a couple of the core languages, and then we have partners that will come along and fill some of that in as well. So, I mean, it certainly is possible. It's something we work with partners to go do.
Okay.
But for right now, we have a core set of libraries for it. So
I got to put you on the hot seat at some point. And I think for people that are, say, new to Visual Studio, where do you see, do you make the distinction in terms of what language to use or what project type? Or is it just we want to be all things and have a great developer experience for, you know, regardless of language or platform type? Or how do you all think about that?
Well, I mean, the thing is the developer community is very large. And the skill sets that you have, you know, there's a lot of variety in there. So I think being able to add HTML and JavaScript into the platform is a good example. We have tons of developers out there that know how to write that kind of code. Being able to bring them into the environment is super helpful for them. And so we are going to try and make sure that you can come in, choice, kind of flexibility, you know, use your assets, use your skills. That's something we really want to be able to emphasize, whether you're HTML or JavaScript. So Visual Studio itself is not designed to be, well, it's just the .NET environment or it's just the C++ environment. As you can see, we are definitely trying to make sure that, you know, no matter where you're kind of coming from, it works. And that includes, you know, kind of non-Microsoft folks bringing in their language environments, COBOL, RPG, you know, Fortran, a whole bunch of different systems. We got a bunch.
Those are always the fun ones. Now, we do have a question here from David Lame. Does VS 2011 allow changing code while debugging on 64-bit?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, you know, I run 64-bit, and I see that message a lot. Doesn't allow, you know, edit and continue.
Yeah, it's edit and continue. So, yeah, this is something we've had people ask for. We don't have the full support, you know, for that in here. It's something I would like to get into the system. And of course, you also have to ask in which language you're talking about. Clearly, in interpreted environments where REPL and that kind of stuff, you can certainly make those sort of changes. But that's a cheat. That's not really what's being asked for.
And it's for people
like,
that don't know
C++ or .NET,
the REPL style, or you know, maybe they're new to JavaScript or something like that. Which what we're talking about is being able to make real time changes to HTML, JavaScript.
Yeah, and so the edit and continue feature, in dynamic languages, I'm usually kicking syntax into a runtime. Because it's interpreted, I can make as many changes as I want. When I go off and do static compilation, whether that's for C++ or that's for .NET, I actually have to lower it down through a compiler, create some kind of file format, turn it into some chunk of code. There's actually quite a bit of, I actually worked on this feature as a dev. It's an interesting set of code, but
right.
You literally are doing things like, you know, putting in patches and breakpoints to connect and fixing up frames, and it's a lot of heavy lifting. Very cool. So we've got that set of support out there. For 64-bit, that's something we want to get to, and we don't have anything new to talk about there yet.
Okay. We have a couple more questions here. Johnny Strum asks, can you write Win8 Metro apps in ASP.NET, or do you have to use straight HTML, JS, CSS?
And so the Windows Metro applications, of course, you can use XAML, HTML, et cetera. You're asking about HTML. In this particular case, you need to use HTML and JavaScript, CSS, and it is something you'll write because you're essentially running it on the client. In ASP.NET, I take the question to be like, is all of the framework libraries and other support around ASP.NET available and just put into the client? The answer to that is no. So if you were to go off and grab a whole bunch of the namespaces that you'd use in ASP.NET, no, that's not what we're doing. It'd be more equivalent to if I were to go off and write, you know, plain HTML, JavaScript, run it in the browser, that you can do. So to the extent you're saying, look, I've got some code, I'm running it in the browser, that works. Can I take that code and put it into a Metro-style application? The answer to that is yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what we're basically expected to do is, it is HTML, it is JavaScript, they are client applications. So there's not going to be a post back, you know, a bunch of the other things that go with the ASP.NET programming model.
Right.
And there's a new set of controls.
Right. Another question here. BKR Bashir, will proper debugging for XAML come like that of C# with VS11?
Yeah, and there's a couple of things that this could mean here. I mean, so and I just want to just to clarify, I'll give a couple of answers just because I think I know what you mean, but I just want to be
sure,
complete.
Sure, sure.
We absolutely have full debugging support for the Metro style applications and you know all that kind of stuff, WPF and that sort of thing. You can do the normal debugging. So the Metro style apps that use XAML, you'll have the same support there. A little bit of what I think we might be looking for is here, do you have additional features for like XAML debugging, like the XAML tree stack, et cetera? What we've got is the same set of tools that we had in Visual Studio 2010 from that perspective. So I can do the kind of hierarchy inspection. I can see what different pieces look like. But beyond that, you won't find something new with 2011 than from what we had in 2010.
You know, and yesterday in the big picture session, they actually showed some of the designer elements from Visual Studio are now the same ones in Blend. Do you want to talk about that? Because they showed the document outline and you saw the you know, the eye to hide specific elements and stuff like that. How does that all work?
Yeah. So the way we had things constructed for the designer in 2010 is we had a XAML designer that was a component built in, plugged into Visual Studio. We also had Expression Blend, which had a similar sort of design. Now, it had additional features and a bunch of other stuff that designers typically would go use. So we essentially had two code bases, and one would run in VS, one would run in Blend. And so what we've done for this version is we've actually taken the Expression Blend code base, and we've consolidated it onto one code base. And so Expression Blend will continue to use that, the updated new version. But in addition to that, we've actually surfaced that same designer inside of Visual Studio. Now, that means a couple of things. One, you're going to get some additional functionality that we didn't have inside of Visual Studio, which is
cool. I love additional functionality.
So this is kind of the layer, like the eyeball, the layer hiding, and you know the property
the
resets.
The properties window is definitely something that for people who haven't used Blend will probably see a lot of differences there.
Yes, and the Blend team has done an awesome job. Because the first question when you do this is like, well, because this is the other kind of trade-off. It's like, well, but if I'm really used to using Visual Studio, will it feel so different that I'll get lost? I think the Blend team's actually done a really good job because they didn't just take the, the way we describe this on my team is I don't want a ransom note of a product, you know, which basically, you know, you take product X and product Y and they don't look the same as it looks like a ransom note, you know, like cut letters out of magazines in different fonts. They didn't do that.
I love that.
They did an awesome job. They went back and themed the stuff to match Visual Studio's look and feel. You're still going to find some places where it's different, but in our user testing that we've done with folks, are like, yeah, you know, the places where it differs, I actually wanted the new behavior. It's been pretty positively received.
You know, for people trying, because really we want people to try out the tools, and we do have some questions we want to get to, but you can download Visual Studio 11. It's not just for Windows 8.
That's correct. It's not just for Windows 8.
So you can use it on Windows 7, and I believe you can use it on side-by-side, right? Visual Studio 11 and 10.
Yep.
And then I think one of the most interesting parts is previously your solution files would actually change.
Yep.
So now you can actually open a project in Visual Studio 11, and it won't change the project. So you can say, you know, if you have legacy applications, you just want to use specific features. Is that all correct?
That's all correct.
Okay.
So we run on more than just one version. Now, if you want to write a Windows Metro style application, because that is designed for Windows 8, you will need to be working on Windows 8 in order to go do that. So that's
right.
the one thing. So the Express SKU that we announced will just run there. However, the Visual Studio 11 product, as you said correctly, it'll run on Windows 7. It's going to run on servers if you're doing server development. I mean, so you've got that kind of flexibility. And it just comes under the project type that you're going to have to create. What we've done, and there was a kind of interesting question earlier today on this, there's kind of two levels of the multi-targeting stuff. There's multi-targeting for framework libraries. We still have support for that, right? So if you want to go write a .NET Framework 3.5 application in Visual Studio 11, you can absolutely target it and go do that kind of authoring. The project files, that's the file formats that Visual Studio itself used, every time we did a new version of Visual Studio, we typically wind up breaking it. So, you know, what happens is the cool kid on the block takes the new, you know, out for a drive, converts the project format, hands it down the hallway, and now that, you know, they're busted. So we made sure that that works both. So you can actually pick up Visual Studio 11, play around with it. Your teammates can pick it up, open it in 2010, and it's still going to work.
Yeah, I think it's great, especially for people that are doing the evaluation of projects to realize that, you know, their projects will work across those.
Yes, absolutely.
So we have some more questions here. Just a reminder, hashtag CH9Live to send your questions. Heaven's Revenge asks, will X64 ever be a compile target included in the Express version of VC++?
So we're not announcing any new Express SKUs right now or changes to Express SKUs outside of the new Express SKU for Windows 8. So that's the only thing that we're basically announcing. And with that, we're allowing you to go build up the right kind of form factors for Windows 8 Metro applications. Like, this question comes down to, hey, the C++ Express SKU.
Right.
And we're not actually talking about that one or C# or VB, even VWD, Visual Web Developer, Phone.
Sure.
We just released a bunch of those, so the truth is those will get settled. The only SKUs that we're releasing now is the Windows 8 Express stuff, the Visual Studio 11, and then the Team Foundation Service stuff, and Expression Blend, the five pieces. So those are the only components that we're releasing today, so I can't comment on future SKUs. We'll sort it out.
Okay. Hans Cruz asks, what about reusing common JS best practices in Windows 8, JavaScript HTML samples, say using closures and JavaScript at the bottom? So how much of the JavaScript, you know, best practices are going to be applicable to Metro-style applications?
Yeah. And I think Stephen, actually, in his keynote yesterday, he and Antoine went through and did some coding demos with the tools. I thought they did a great job explaining, you know, what this kind of looks like. At the bottom, you're just talking about the same kind of, you know, rendering engine. And as Stephen said, look, it is just, you know, the browser stack that we have for Windows. I mean, it's in there for both of those. So what that means is you can actually come back and use, in fact, the first demo that Antoine did, where you showed just HTML and JavaScript, it just works because it's just a browser style application. Now, what you'll wind up doing after that, so closures, you know, the other sort of techniques you're describing, those absolutely work, the runtime support it, all the rest of that. What you're typically going to wind up doing, though, is if I'm targeting this kind of, you know, 16:9 form factor, whatever it happens to look like, I'm probably also now going to start adding some of the new Metro style controls. And so I want the kind of, you know, scrolling list view and be able to kind of pan through.
Right.
I want the contract integrations and those sort of things. Those, we've written some code to help you out with and make those work. We've used a nice kind of method for writing these things. If you look at the sample applications, you will see us do things with event and dot then, and then opening a new function, and, you know, for the handlers to kind of get a nice, concise, you know, set of code in there, which is a very common JavaScript programming pattern. We actually did try and use that same sort of methodology that a JavaScript developer would be very familiar with. So flexibility again, we're going to give you some stuff that just works out of the box. You know, you're going to take advantage of some of that. We want you to be able to take your assets and pull them in.
You know, another cool feature that I started playing with when I got the Express build is the ability on samples. So you mentioned some of the SDK samples. When you go to File, New Project, you can actually search for samples, and there's a number, you know, certainly done by your team and the SDK team, that you can actually pull up and use. So Can customers actually add samples to that repository as well, or is it just?
You will be able to over time. What I'm talking about here is we already have the support today with Visual Studio Gallery to go off and go post, you know, samples up into the environment. You'll be able to go download those and pull those through. What we've done for the current version of the toolkits and the samples we produce, we really want to make sure that developers get off to the best possible start, you know, and build really fantastic. That's why yesterday, Jensen actually did a good talk about UX and what good UX looks like. And so I think what's really important for us right now is let's get a few really high quality samples that show you what you need to do to build an awesome Windows 8 Metro application. With that, that's where we're going to start. So the general mechanisms, yes, they exist. But for right now, what you should expect us to do is do a few of them of very, very high quality, make sure everybody gets kicked off of the gate. And I think over time, you'll see the ecosystem kind of fill it out.
Okay, great. And we do have another question here. Iron Arc asks, does the page inspector work with web forms? If not, can it be made to work? So this is the DOM inspector stuff. Is that MVC specific or Metro style specific?
It's an excellent question. I don't want to give the wrong kind of answer on this. I honestly am not 100% certain. It basically is just doing the remoting and it's pulling back the DOM so we can go off and go look at it. But I don't want to give you a definitive answer because I might get it wrong. Feel free to ping me. I'll make sure we get it hooked up, and I'll give you an answer. JasonZ@Microsoft.com.
And while we're there talking about Twitter, JL Zander?
JL Zander on Twitter, yes.
So you know who to follow.
Yes.
Should have put
my own name up on the bulletin, on the billboard, the captive audience, 4,000 people.
We just scratched this out and just JL Zander.
Follow JL Zander, yes, on Twitter, yes.
Now, we've talked a lot about, coding stuff, debugging stuff. What about some of the things for, say, architecture or inspecting an application, some of the things, sequence graphs, and some of the other things that we've done to inspect applications, maybe, especially for code bases we're not actually familiar with. We're walking in and seeing how somebody else's code works. Is there any new stuff in VS 11 for that?
So we got some fantastic support that we shipped, being able to go back and kind of reverse engineer code and assets. After we shipped 2010, we also did some feature packs. We added back in some web inspection, so you could tear apart ASP.NET application. We also went back and did some C++ work as well. So those are available. We will continue to ship those plus improvements in Visual Studio 2011. So we've got some of those sort of improvements through the system. I will say a big theme, that we did for the application lifecycle management, there's kind of two to call out. There's tons of great stuff being done, but there's two I would call out. One is moving us into a services kind of environment. We talked about that earlier today as well. The other one is a big investment in agile support, just given where methodologies are heading and what people are doing.
Yeah, can you talk more about agile support? So I know you mentioned some of the unit testing and the ability to have a pluggable framework for unit testing, but what are some of the other things that you certainly see that agile developers using, and why Visual Studio is more awesome for agile developers?
Lots of awesomeness.
Yes.
Agile, we tried to do the entire life cycle, because what you really want to do is you want to get the entire team working together. And a lot of time, the original agile, kind of methodologies or practices, maybe were focused around dev and test, and we want to expand that back out. So it starts all the way back up in saying, okay, how many times have you built exactly what the customer asked for, but not what they wanted?
Right.
And every time I mention it to people, they're like, oh, I've had that, I've done that. So we started off first with requirements and basically said, is there a good way for us to do agile requirements? And what that means is the ability to figure out, well, what software should I build? What should the screens look like? What should the features be? But get into a rapid feedback cycle. So we've shipped support inside of PowerPoint that allows you to actually do very quick mock-ups of
it's
really cool.
Love it.
It's really cool. And we hooked it up into the workflow. So now if you're a product designer, you can come in, product owner, you can come in, make some changes, and then get feedback. If you go into the building side, we've got support for Scrum. I showed off your backlog. I showed off task boards, all the normal set of worker flow that I want to do, sprint planning, everything you do for Scrum, you can pull
it
through.
We have a dedicated session at TFS coming up right after this.
Fantastic. That's really cool stuff. Once you get past that, the next thing you want to do is I've got the application. I did the requirements that's gone off and built. You mentioned unit testing, continuous integration. That's part of the cycle, too. We've also done exploratory testing. And what that means is you can actually go pick up the app and turn around, and we used some of our technology that we built in 2010. So all of our testing tools that we invested, we can get videos, we can get playback logs, you know, we have these action logs that can be done. You can actually pick up the build, start playing with it, we'll record it. You can actually narrow down repro steps for bugs, or you can annotate it as a product owner and say, this is close, but I don't like the font, I don't like the color, and now it makes it back in. So if you look at it, that's the entire life cycle from definition through implementation, through quality, through feedback. We want to make that, you know, go very, very, very tight. So we've done the whole thing in this release.
Awesome. All right. So my guest has been Jason Zander. That's at JL Zander.
Yep.
And blog is blogs.mcn.com. Jason Z.
Jason Z. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Yep. Thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. See ya.